Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
The Blue Collar BS podcast helps business owners like you build a business that'll thrive for decades to come by turning that Blue Collar BS into some blue collar business solutions.
In this episode, you're going to learn business owners are taking back control of their business, the impact of asset tracking, talking about the entrepreneurial dream and what that really means to us, and the B2B small business joy.
Our guest today is Michael Drelichars. A young boomer has embraced technology to build his business while protecting the assets of the blue collar industry, and also the host of the I Got a Guy podcast. We hope you enjoy this show.
Welcome back to the show, Brad Herta. Welcome back to Blue Collar BS. How are you doing today, my friend?
I am wonderful, Mr. Stephen Doyle. And I got to imagine that Motor City, Detroit, Michigan is hot as all get out right now today.
Yep. It is nice and sweltering here. Everything is feeling very swampy. It's great.
Sweaty balls.
There you go. Sweaty.
There you go.
Swamp ass going on. It's great.
Perfect. They make stuff for that.
They do. That they do. But, you know, sometimes we're just, you just kind of got to roll with it. Just get in there.
Perfect.
Get in there. So, you know, it's kind of like those nice, balmy, muggy days you like to go golfing. You just got to get in there.
Yeah. That's going to be tomorrow morning. It's going to be ridiculous. Yeah. I'm glad we go early in the morning before the rise of the complete sunshine, because it's going to be nasty tomorrow.
It's going to be hot and nasty, and yes, we like it that way. Exactly. Love the Midwest. So, Brad, who do we got on the show today?
So, we have on the show today an owner of a awesome little business out of Illinois, Michael Dreck. I knew I was going to butcher it, Michael. Drelichars.
There you go.
Close. You can fix it. He owns Precision Fleet Tracking Solutions, tracks equipment, tracks trailers, vehicles, camera systems, all sorts of things. He's been in the technology space forever and a day. We met through some common networking partners. He's also the host of I Got a Guy podcast. Wow. He just happens to be my guy. He's my guy for any of this tracking stuff that I, for nice. Contractors, trailers, those types of things. And I'm just very happy to have him here today. So, Michael, thank you for taking the time to come on our show on this Friday afternoon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So can you pronounce your name as it's supposed to be pronounced? Because I butchered the hell out of it.
Well, you actually got it correct at the end there. It's Drelichars. It's phonetic.
Okay. Thank you.
Just intimidate
it's
people.
Phonetic. It's a weird. I want to say Delhi. I don't want to see the R in there, right?
Yeah.
like Drelichars. No, that's not it. There's an R in there.
Right.
My brain did not want to read all the letters.
Yeah, I get it.
So before we get rolling here, and I forget because it's been known to happen a time or two, which generation, Michael, do you fit in with?
Steve, I'm proud to be a baby boomer.
Awesome. You and Brad just rocking it out.
Yeah, I'm at the end of the baby boomer generation, but I'm happy to be part of that generation.
I'm awesome. Beginning of X, Steve, just so you know.
Oh, I keep forgetting that. You just have so many boomer traits. It's great.
It is true. That is true. I'm not going to lie. Growing up, most of my influence was from older people around the neighborhood and guys I worked with and people I worked with along the way, because most of the folks my age were idiots.
Well, I mean,
shut up.
Roll with what you got.
go on, Mr. Doyle.
Oh, Michael, tell us how you got started in the fleet tracking business.
Well, Steve, I've been in technology forever. Spent much of my career in corporate America and telecommunications area. And then I opened up my own cellular store back in 2013. We opened the store and had a chance to sell that business. And I met a gentleman through networking that was starting up a reseller channel with GPS tracking with a company based in Canada. And frankly, I haven't looked back since. It's been an awesome run. It's been about a little over 5.5 years now. And it's a tremendous industry. We're doing great things for a lot of businesses. So I'm excited to be in
the industry. That's fantastic.
It is. Yeah. And I remember, Michael, So one of the things he does is he's got camera systems. And I know one of our networking calls, you had made the statement or told us the story of you just got done installing camera systems from one of your clients, the car, the vehicle or whatever got either equipment was stolen or got in an accident or something. And that your camera system, your video, your capturing allowed that business owner to be able to prove to the insurance company that it wasn't tomfoolery that caused the situation or any self-infliction. And that business was able to recover all the things they need to do by paying for the insurance that they're supposed to be using when things happen.
Yeah, you have a great memory. Right after we installed cameras in a plumbing company on a Saturday, Monday morning, truck pulls up at a job site, and our cameras actually record for 10 minutes after the vehicle turns off. So within 10 minutes, a car pulls up and they break into the back of the truck, steal a jackhammer, cram it in the back of a Honda Civic, and they drive off. But our video was able to, because it was an open cargo van, see the gentleman that actually stole it. And we were able to download video and provide it to the police for their investigation. So it helped the police out, it helped their insurance out. And the owner knew that there wasn't an inside job. It was a legitimate theft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, there's the unintended consequences of the product services you provide. And so as you go through and sell those services because we talk about generation, talk a little bit about the show before show, how do the different generations perceive your product from a value proposition perspective?
That's another great question. What we find is majority of our clients are actually the late baby boomers. We do get some of the younger generation also investing in our technology. The older generation has been in business for 30 or 40 years, and they sometimes question, why do I need to add this technology now? I've never needed it before. So it's a little harder sale. The middle-aged business owners, they're now, especially after COVID, they're taking back control of their business, and they want to know where their vehicles are. They want to know how their vehicles are being driven. They want to know where their crews are located, make sure they're not doing something they're not supposed to be doing, and not running side jobs on the weekends, et cetera. And then we actually find the younger businesses, the millennials, the Gen Xs, we find them to embrace technology a little bit better. So they believe in our technology, they know the value, and it comes down to whether or not their business can afford it, and you know what they're doing with the technology. But definitely right. Different mindsets based on generation.
And that's interesting because I see, you know, a lot of the older generation. You know, they're more quote unquote protective of where their assets are and how they're being used. Is there something with the younger generation where it's not necessarily tracking where people are and what they're doing? Do they have a different mindset for the use of the technology?
In some cases, yes. Lately, a big issue here in Illinois, especially, has been theft of assets.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these, you know, landscaping companies, they have these really expensive mowers. I mean, some of the ride-on mowers can be $15,000. If you get into a John Deere mower, that could be $40,000 up to $80,000 a piece. So we're doing a lot of tracking for asset protection to protect from theft. And it's a common challenge we have here.
Right.
Yeah, because I've worked with a couple of clients where they've installed these on vehicles, and the mindset of the workers, and we had, you know, workforce that was Gen Z all the way up to, I would say, late Gen X and some maybe early boomers, maybe if they're early boomers, and just the mindset of the workforce that, you know, they're being tracked was very interesting. What have you seen on that side for the workforce being tracked?
Well, that is an interesting evolution, because early on when the tracking gets installed, the employees bristle quite aggressively.
Oh, gee, yes,
why,
they do.
Trust me. Why don't you trust me? You know what? You know what's going on here. Yep. They eventually, and now sometimes it only takes a few weeks, but they adapt into it. They forget it's there. And then they do crazy things. That is like, well, that's why we have traffic. You know, you're driving 80 miles an hour.
Yeah.
We see that all the time. And so
why are you going to your girlfriend's house again?
Yeah. Exactly. So that, and you know, guys will take the truck home at night, and then they'll run a side job over on the weekend when they're not supposed to, and they get caught doing that. So we've seen a lot of different, you know, crazy things. But what we also found interesting within the past probably 18 months or so has been a shift back to the owners wanting to take control of their business. During COVID, the owners were afraid to lose employees. So they were hesitant to put tracking in their vehicles because they didn't want to lose anybody because it was hard to replace them with good employees. Remember that day right. when you know, it was hard to find an employee, let alone a good employee.
Yes.
And so so they didn't want to lose their good employees or even their marginal employees. So they were reluctant. Now the pendulum has swung the other direction, and now the owner is saying, "Wait a minute, you know what? I'm paying for these assets. I'm paying for the fuel. I'm paying for the repairs. It's my tools in the truck. I need to know what this is at." So owners are now saying, well, if I irritate an employee and he leaves, well, he probably isn't the employee I need to have on my staff anyway. I'll find somebody else. So there's a very deliberate shift in the last 18 months or so, which I find refreshing because that's what I embrace. I like working with the business owners, and drivers will come up to me sometimes and they'll give me a hard time about the tracking. And my answer is a pat answer, which is, if you're doing nothing wrong, you have nothing to worry about.
That's right.
And they don't like that. The drivers get kind of – one guy was got in my face a little bit, and I come to find out he had some anger management issues. So, but anyway, the owners are much, much easier to deal with. So I typically work with business owners that want to enhance their growth and profit.
Mm-hmm. I love to hear that the shift of taking back the business, so to speak, for those owners that are taking back their business, as you said, are they doing it autocratically where it's just, this is the way it's going to be? Or do you believe they're having those conversations to set it up to be successful as you put the information or put the technology into their vehicles, on the equipment, et cetera?
It varies quite a bit, actually. We've had a few, we've had a few that are putting it in, and in Illinois, the law is that you're supposed to inform any driver of a vehicle when there's tracking installed. So you're not supposed to sneak it in the vehicle. And I make sure that our documentation states that, and we make it clear to the owner that they're really are obligated to tell their drivers. We actually have some owners that deliberately don't tell their drivers. And you know what? We let them run their business the way they want to run their business. I'm not going to tell them what to do. But most of the time, the owners are sharing the fact that this is going to help, you know, reduce insurance costs. If somebody is accused of an accident and they're wrongly accused, this will help prove that they're not doing something wrong. So the better business owners, the smarter business owners, the ones that are really looking to build a good, solid, long-term business have done a better job of working with their staff and not making it be this, you know, not try to trick them into it. But we do have a handful that are a little,
oh yeah,
a little different.
Now, have you noticed, is there a, because we're going to always try to tie this back to a generational thing, mixed generations, or is there more of a trend that you see that is more autocratic?
You know, it's a mix. A lot of it tends to be the type of industry.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When we're noticing, like, for example, I do a lot in the landscape industry. If you're hiring unskilled laborers just to cut lawns, those business owners generally seem to be more autocratic and just, you know, this is the way it is. And if you don't like it, hit the bricks.
Mm-hmm.
When it's a more skilled industry, plumbing, for example, if they're a union plumbing shop, they're paying these guys a lot more money. These guys are skilled, guys and gals. I shouldn't segregate it, but their employees are skilled, and you know it's a bigger ticket item. So those business owners tend to work with their employees a little bit differently.
Got it.
I always find the tracking to be actually more beneficial for companies. And for one of the reasons that has, you kind of alluded to it, more on the traffic side. So it's not just for accidents. It's for those, I would say, the insurance fraud side, where we have seen, some of my clients have seen where people will try to claim insurance fraud, or, you know, say, hey, your driver's bad. Now I'm going to go out and watch them and be a little more malicious with it. And now you actually have recordings of what is going on, not just both of the driver and how they're behaving, but also of the environment going around. So it does protect you know, the business overall by having those in the vehicles. So I, yes, I am a proponent of the trackers in the vehicles.
You're hired, Steve.
Yeah, it's huge. And I believe you have the additional SaaS product for being able to do the dispatching or looking at the map as to where vehicles are and things like that. And that becomes invaluable to that plumbing organization or whatever to see if Billy's always driving 100 miles a day with nothing to do. Well, we got to figure out how to get our appointments better so we're not paying Billy $65 an hour to drive around in front of a windshield.
Right. That's exactly right. And you can see if, you know, sometimes you'll see vehicles pass each other on the road and, you know, a business owner can say, well, gee, we can consolidate these loads and maybe one guy go, you know, north for 60 miles to make a delivery instead of two drivers. And so, yeah, we definitely can use the data to enhance their business and be more efficient. I mean, fuel is expensive right now and time is expensive, you know, their payroll time. And so the data is used for that purposes, those purposes a lot, and just enhancing that and streamlining the process. But, you know, to your point, Steve, from an insurance standpoint, we have had a number of situations. We have video evidence of, you know, drivers driving along and literally slamming on their brakes, truck will rear end the car and they'll get out and they'll fall on the ground. And you see the whole thing unfold. And oftentimes,
yep,
the driver that caused that accident, you know, is shocked when they realize a camera's installed. On our website, we have several examples, and it's pretty sad when it happens, but it's rewarding when we can prove that the driver was doing all the right things, driving the speed limit, not weaving, not being crazy, not being aggressive. And
yeah. Don't do stupid things. Don't have to find out. Right.
Yeah. And we've also, there was a study, I think it was the University of Michigan did a study a few years back where when there's an accident between a commercial vehicle and a passenger vehicle, I think it was 91% of the time the commercial vehicle was blamed for the accident. But when they peel back the layers of the onion, they've realized that the commercial vehicle was responsible less than 45% of the time. Mm-hmm. But the assumption is, man, big corporation, there's big insurance, we got a payday coming.
Yep. What I would find interesting, though, is that your emergency response folks would be the ones creating that initial report as such. And
not a political show, Brad.
And buying into, I understand, but buying into the commercial vehicle versus non, and I wonder if that becomes some of the, as you talked about earlier a little bit, the skilled versus unskilled labor force activity versus the residential driver, possibly where maybe they can't communicate well with the officer or whomever's on site to begin with.
Yeah, there could be a couple,
which is unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's where, you know, for the business owner, that's where it's even more important to have the technology in the vehicle so it can speak on behalf of that driver. Maybe it's a language barrier, maybe there's other things going on. Regardless, the proof is in the video.
Mm-hmm. So, Mike, I don't know if I've ever asked you this question in all of our networking and other things that we've been involved with, but what possessed you to get into the wireless phone, car phone store environment way back in the 2012 era as this industry started in its infancy? What made you make that decision to go out from corporate side America? Of things to go into your entrepreneurial journey?
Well, I always wanted to be an entrepreneur. I always had that feeling that that's what I wanted to do. And I remember sharing a story with my wife and I said, gee, you know, I was in my later 40s at the time. And I told my wife, I said, you know, gee, if I'm going to do something, I better get going. Otherwise, you know, time's going to pass me by and I'm going to have regrets as I get in my retirement years. And I was always in technology. I spent about 20 years in the telecom field. And I was talking to a friend of mine who's also a serial entrepreneur. And he said, well, gee, you've been doing so much in telecom. Why don't you just open up a wireless store? And I'm like, that's a great idea. So I researched it. I actually bought a franchise. And there aren't many franchises in the cellular space. Most of them are dealerships. I bought a franchise and pursued it that way.
Hmm. And what possessed you to get out of the franchise telecom world?
So I owned that business for 5 years. And I often say that it was the longest 15 years of my life. Retail, you know, you learn some in business. Sometimes your best lessons come from the challenges, the failures, if you will. Always. I found what I wasn't good at. Retail was not my strength. And I was fortunate that another franchisee came knocking on my door saying, hey, I want to expand in the Chicago area. Are you interested in selling your business? And I handed him the keys. It wasn't the best negotiating strategy, but I was done. It was stick a fork in me, turn me over, I'm done. And it just kind of fell in place. So
what was the, so being in the B2B world that you are today versus being in the business to consumer space, what's the difference for you that you enjoy the business to business spot versus the business to consumer? What's the driving factor that makes it more fun, gets you up every day, et cetera?
Well, one of the biggest reasons is I've always enjoyed small businesses. And I believe that small business is really the foundation of our country and our economy. And I want to help more small businesses. I like working with small business owners, and they may be, you know, have two trucks. They may have six trucks, maybe have 60 trucks. I like work with the owners themselves. I can have a rapport. I'm a small business owner. We can relate. I know about the sleepless nights and the challenges and the sacrifices that you have to make. When you work with a municipality or a major corporation, it's different. There's too many committees, too much hierarchy involved. The people you work with.
You can say it. You wanted to say it. You wanted to say bullshit, but you didn't.
Yes.
Say it.
Yes, claim it.
Yeah. So that's the bottom line is I like working with small businesses. And when I did the business to consumer, I liked helping the consumers out. I actually liked the phone business, but it was different because you get somebody coming in and they're complaining about all kinds of silly things that are really insignificant that could take a lot of time to address. And when we're talking with the business owner, they just need to get stuff done. And I just like that approach.
Cool. Mm. So Michael, how are people going to find you? We reach that audience. What area do you serve? How do people get a hold of you? What's your ideal client look like? I mean, you talked about anywhere from two trucks to a fleet of vehicles. Tell people how they find you.
So the best way to find us is our website, which is Precise Fleet Tracking. And I wanted to clarify that for you, Brad. The business is Precise Fleet Tracking Solutions. Oftentimes it gets confused with precision, but it's Precise Fleet Tracking. And so you can go to my website. Our phone number is 847-865-6008. 847-865-6008. I do serve the entire country. A lot of my clients are here in the Chicagoland or Midwest area. I got Wisconsin clients in Indiana, majority of them. But I have clients scattered throughout the country. So we have no limitations on that. We actually, our trucks can travel into Canada and Mexico as well. They work all throughout North America. And ideal size, we have several customers that have one vehicle in their fleet. When the owner's not driving a vehicle, if an employee's driving it, the owner should have a tracker in there, even if it's one vehicle. So we go up from one vehicle on up. And so there's no fleet that's too small. Somebody has a question, just call me or send me an email or reach out to me via the website and let's have a conversation. It's really pretty simple.
Yeah, I will vouch for Michael and what he does and how he goes about it. And unfortunately, I've not been able to get anybody out of their big V contracts to do the things that they need to do. It's like, oh man, you really need to change. Oh, but it's the integration to some of the other tools that are out there. I guess
it is.
So talk about some of the integration. So let's just get into some of those details for some of those. What other service platforms do you integrate with? Let me ask you that question.
Mm-hmm. Well, the answer is from the opposite direction. We have an open API in our platform, so anybody can come into our API, grab the information that they need from the tracking, and put it into their system. So it's we're open and we're flexible to be integrated into whatever platform, CRM, back office system that needs to be, integrated.
So a Service Titan organization, if they're using Service Titan, they can use your product, no problem, no issues, no big deal.
Well, Service Titan has to allow for us to allow for the access into our system. So some of those have, predefined restrictions, but technically the answer is yes. if the provider allows it to be accessed.
But okay.
I want to touch on one other point real quick. When I started Precise Fleet Tracking, what I ended up doing is I looked at the big players in the market. A couple of you mentioned one of them, and I looked at how they do business, and I wrote my business plan to be the opposite. Specifically, we don't require long-term contracts. I want to earn my customer loyalty each and every month. The contracts are when a customer get sold a bill of goods, they sign a contract, and then they for the next 3 years they regret that contract. I don't want any regrets.
Not even a letter.
Not even
no
a letter.
Regrets. Not even a letter.
No right, regrets. Right. but we don't have we don't have the auto renewal. We just do a month-to-month billing, and then we rent the equipment to our clients. They don't have to spend capital out of their budget to buy the equipment, so they rent it from us. When we end our relationship, all I ask is just return the equipment to us, and we'll rent it to somebody else. So it's just a monthly subscription fee. It's really easy to get in, easy to get out. We have really strong loyalty with our clients because we provide a really awesome service. They don't want to leave us, which is the best of both worlds. That's because awesome. We have a happy relationship. And we don't hide behind an overseas call center. I don't have a toll-free number for people to call into somebody in Singapore or Bangladesh and try to explain what the problem is. They call us directly, and we answer the phone evenings, nights, weekends. It doesn't matter. So we're just easy to do business with. So much different than the big guys in the industry.
That's awesome.
Yep. And I can vouch for that. And I truly appreciate you taking time on your Friday to come on and share your knowledge and share the wisdom with our audience. And I wish you all the best here for the rest of the summer. And I can't wait to get another call with you here soon. And oh, by the way, let's not forget about the I Got a Guy podcast. Where do That's we right. find the I Got a Guy podcast?
So I Got a Guy podcast, something I've been doing for the last year and a half or so. It's on my website. There's a podcast. All the podcast episodes are listed. In fact, your interview is on there as well, Brad. But igotaguypodcast.com. You can find all of our podcast episodes. We're on YouTube, Rumble, and on all the audio platforms. So each week I bring in a different guest, either a referral partner or a customer, allow them to promote their business. And, you know, it's just a part of way of giving back, saying thank you, and growing small businesses.
Yep. So, awesome. If you're a guy or a gal or a person that has something, reach out to Mike and see if there's an opportunity for some collaboration.
That's right. Just go to our website at igotaguypodcast.com or precisefleettracking.com, and we'll get connected and we'll go from there.
Cool. Thank you very much, Michael, for an awesome time here this afternoon. And
awesome.
Look forward to talking to you soon.
Great. Thank you, Brad. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
Make a great day.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.